This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. We are live at the Beacon Building. You are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And, you know, we always love getting your phone calls. You can give us a call at any time at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear from you. We have a packed show today. It should be really good. We'll be hearing shortly from Donna and from Delaware. Donna's delights.
We love Donna.
And we are joined also with our one and only Steve Freeman. Wake the health up, America.
Wake up.
There we go. I'm anxious to get an update on the Manchester Food Co-op. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined with Kate Reagan. She is the editor-in-chief of Edible New Hampshire Magazine. I'm very excited to talk to her as well. And then we will close off with... Who are we closing off with, Tracy?
Gucci.
Oh, my gosh,
Gucci. You told me to put me on the spot. Yeah, Gucci.
I did. My mind just went blank for just a second. That happens. I'm 52 years old. So with Gucci over at the veranda, we'll see what's happening over there and see what kind of food news she has up her sleeve. And so, yeah, here we are. So before, oh, you know what? Actually, Donna's on the line now. So let's chat with Donna, and then we can get an update on the food co-op, Steve.
Let's do it.
Welcome, Donna.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi,
great.
Donna.
What's going on?
If you could have just seen Carol jump out of her chair just now.
Steve did too.
I think they had their mics turned up, Donna.
They got them turned up. Well, you better turn it down because you know I'm already turned up. I'm always on what? About 10?
Maybe 12.
You always sound like you're on an island.
It does? Well, you know what I am. I'm on the island of Donna Giddy Giddy, you know? Hey.
Oh, my gosh.
With a beverage in hand?
Like a fruity drink. Something fruity and smooth and creamy and good, you know? With my flip-flop.
I'm envisioning it now. I'm sitting right next to you.
And
it's nice and hot.
In my two-piece.
I'm not in my two-piece, though.
In my two-piece, and I ain't talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hey, got to have my two-piece.
You look very good in your two-piece, I might say, because you've been working on it.
I'm working on it. So are y'all ready for it?
We're ready for it.
Kick it.
Y'all can't wait, can y'all? Y'all going to be sniggling and giggling. That's all y'all do. That's all right. I got something for you. Here we go. Well, here's a little story I need to tell y'all. When I was in high school many, 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 many years ago, I loved history. I loved history so much I wanted to be a history teacher. But God do best. Because in the U.S. public school system, they took out the two main reasons why I wanted to be a teacher, prayer and punishment. That's why, because ain't no way in God's green good earth I would allow little boogie-nosed Bobby to cuss me out or pimply-faced Patty to hit me with anything, because I'm going to jail, not before knocking and living the snot out of somebody. My rule is the only right the child has is the right to do what I tell them. That's their right. Anyway, I volunteered as an interpreter, a.k.a. storyteller, at the Hagley Museum, where the DuPonts made it big off of gunpowder and other things. History has always fascinated me. That's why I dragged poor Teddy to all kinds of museum and historical sites. Last Friday was date night, a.k.a. Philly style. In the freezing cold, we went into the visitor center at the Independence Mall, and a gentleman was telling a story about our first president, George Washington, about his slave that Mr. Washington had by the name of Oney Judge. Now, Oney was Martha Washington's, the president's wife, lady-in-waiting. She was her lady-in-waiting and seamstress. She'd have been like the modern-day Vera Wang working without a check or a fashion line in Kohl's. Well, when they brought their property, a.k.a. slaves, to live in our nation's capital, which was in Philly at the time, well, honey, Oney sees that people of color was free, and Miss Washington was about to pimp her out to her granddaughter as a wedding gift. Oh, Oney bounced. She took herself all the way to my favorite place, y'all, New Hampshire. Well, Martha, Well, Martha, the PW, the president's wife, was hotter than fish grease, y'all. She was hot. She caught the CIA, a.k.a. bounty hunters, looking for poor Oney. And once they found her, probably eating diner fingers at the Rear Arrow Diner, Miss PW wanted her property back, a.k.a. Oney, returned. But Mr. President didn't want no static or a civil war on his watch. So he left that piece of fat back on his plate for old Abe to chew on, leaving my girl Oney alone so she could finish eating her meatloaf in peace, chilling and freezing her rump shaker off in New Hampshire, where she lived out her days as my kind of chick, footloose and fancy free. Now, once I got that bit of juicy piece of nectarine, I took a bite of that, and where Teddy hit it off to the Liberty Bell, right in front of the Liberty Bell, was where they dug up George Washington's old his house, where he was living, and when he was in Philadelphia, right in front of the Liberty Bell, they had the house, and Mr. Washington, that President Washington resided in. Now the kitchen had, and they dug up the kitchen and the secret passageway, which the slaves used. Ted and I listened on a flat screen that told the story of the president and the president's chef that he had brought to Philly with him, named Hercules. Now, he was the baddest grits and gravy steak and souffle chef in the city of brotherly love. He would have made poor Bobby Flay and Paula Deen both need straws, because they would have been sipping on some serious hater egg when he was in the kitchen mixing. Well, Chef Hercules came to Philly, and he brought it. He also got a savor of the flavor of freedom, and I ain't talking about cherry pie. But President Washington wasn't letting his porterhouse steak get away. So he sent poor Hercules back to money-earning Mount Vernon with gasoline drawers on. But In 1797, February 22nd, Hercules gave the president a Marilyn Monroe. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Peace, I'm out. But not before he cooked up a little something. He was known for his beef a la mode, a.k.a. French pot roast, browned in pork fat. Made them all squeal, and is also my inspiration for the recipe of the week. Mr. Captain and Chief, where's the beef? Now, here's what you'll need for a 15-gun salute. Donner style. King, you will need London broil, about 1.5 inches thick, 4 cloves of garlic, 1 cup of portobello mushrooms, 1/2 cup of onions, 1 to 2 cups of spinach, 1/4 cup of olive oil, salt and pepper. Now, with a sharp knife, you're going to slice that London broil long ways. And after you might, depending on that, you'll have about 4 slices, depending on how thick your London broil might be. You're going to salt and pepper both sides of your London broil. You're going to place it in a oil skillet, a hot pan, for about 30 seconds to 1 minute. Brown it on both sides. You're going to place that to rest. And now this is what you're going to do. You're going to place your onions, your mushrooms, your garlic, your spinach, your olive oil, salt and pepper into a blender. And you're going to mix and make a paste. Now, you're going to smear that paste on top of your steak. You're going to roll your steak into pinwheels. And you're going to secure it with toothpicks or with string. Wrap that steak into some foil, and you're going to place in a crock pot, and you're going to set that crock pot on medium setting for about 3 to 4 hours, depending on how you like your steaks. Around here, I serve my steaks well done. I've served my captain and chief his beef with a white sweet potato that I seasoned with olive oil and salt and pepper, which I also cooked in my crock pot. I topped that sweet potato with caramelized onions, and I seasoned those onions with cinnamon and curry. Also, I placed some bacon, sprinkled some bacon, some turkey bacon on top, sprinkled some blue cheese, and I also made a habanero butter, yeah, because I like it hot, and poured it over my sweet potato. In my kitchen, I'm captain in chief when it comes to where's the beef.
That sounds really delicious.
That was right in line with President's Day this week.
It sure is.
A bit of history.
You know that I was going to bring it to you. That's right. February 22nd, they had the whole exhibit. And I was like, oh, snap. He gave the president a happy birthday, Mr. President. Peace. I'm out. You know?
So, Donna, tell us about the habanero butter.
Yeah.
You want the habanero butter? Okay, this is what you're going to do, Tasty Tracy. You're going to take some regular salted butter.
That is never going away, is it?
No, it's not, because you tasty. Okay, now let me finish telling you. Now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take some, you're going to take a regular stick of butter. I used salted, and I melted it in the microwave. And then I took and poured it in my blender, and I took a whole habanero pepper, and I blended it together. Then I poured it back into little tiny cups that looked like little sticks of butter, and I let it cool in the refrigerator. So when it was time for my baked potato, I just plopped that on top of it. Banging, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Did you come up with that?
Of course.
Of course.
That's a crazy question, Tracy. Come on.
That's so creative. I don't like spicy things, but that sounds really good.
Because it was savory and it was sweet at the same time.
That sounds really, really good. I'm going to try that because Daryl and I both like hot things. So
yes,
I'm going to
do that. I took a whole habanero pepper with butter and blended it. See, a white sweet potato is really, really good. It's very nutritious. So I baked that also in the crock pot. So once that got together, I did caramelized onions. What I did was I took some oil and browned some onions and threw those in the crock pot too. So they really were caramelized.
Mm-hmm. So when you put the sweet potato in the crock pot, did you just put it in whole with no liquids or anything?
Well, Tracy, I washed it off and then I put it in oil and then threw it in the crock pot. It cooked itself.
Really?
So just foil in the crock pot. That's it.
Yes.
That's genius. I never would have thought it.
I put the whole meal in the crock pot and went down to Rehoboth Beach to get me some sneakers at the Nike outlet. And came home, and that's what we had. We had steak and potatoes.
Okay. So you had the steak in the crock pot also, and then you put, like, the potatoes on top of it in the tinfoil.
Everything was in tinfoil, their own little packets. Boom, boom, boom. Every piece of steak was in its own little foil. The sweet potatoes was in its own little foil. And I threw them all in one crock pot and rolled out so I could get me some new Nikes.
I did not know you could do that. You taught me something new today.
I didn't know that either. Does Oprah know about this? She hasn't spoken of tinfoil cooking in a crock pot.
She better know about Donna. Because, you know, it's time to get it crack-a-lacking. Yeah. You can put it all in there with some aluminum foil. Aluminum foil packets. Threw it in the crock pot, and I rolled out to get me some Nikes.
So, Donna, you just totally changed my whole world because I do like crock pot cooking for the ease of it, but I don't like how sometimes it ends up just being, unless it's a stew or something, how it ends up just being a big mush of everything.
Yeah, I don't want
and
that.
So I don't ever do it. I am going to do that.
See, little
low
packets.
And slow.
All you have to do is put them in I put the potatoes, I put the steak in its little foils, I put the potatoes in their in the individual foils, and then I put my onions in its own foil, put the lid on it, and we rolled out to Rehoboth Beach and went and bought me some Nikes. It came back and tore it up.
What other outlets did you shop at while you were there?
I went to the Polo, and I also needed some braziers. But I needed some bras too, because I gotta hold these in. But yes, that's what I did. I brought it. You hear me? Now let me finish. Because almost
you shouldn't go to
again.
An outlet for second quality support.
Yeah, good support. I like things on a sale. I'm on a budget. I'm a budget kind of girl. Because the more I can get, the less I can spend, the more I can get. Now, being this Black History Month, I thought I'd bring y'all a little tea with y'all's mashed potatoes. And election year being near, and the way that some of these candidates have been talking, and it seems like they want me and those who look like me back in Oney's place. Carol, Daryl, and Molly, put me a room on standby, because I'm too pretty and too fine to be picking cotton. Life is for living, and food is for giving, and Donna's out of here. No, because I'm Captain Chief when it comes where to be.
Send me that recipe, Donna.
Keen. She forgot Keen.
Well, she already said it two or three times.
Yeah, true.
Oh, my goodness. Before we go on our break, because we need to take one break before we get to the top
of
the hour.
We need a break.
Well, you know what the food holiday is today? It's National Drink Wine Day.
That's my day.
Let's celebrate over the break.
It's also Eat Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. Interesting.
Honestly, that's my day too. This is, I have to put this day in my calendar.
Ice cream and wine.
Yes.
I mean, what better, you know, combination is that?
I'm going to celebrate too. Actually, no, I started today being good again. Maybe I can start tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow.
There is. You know what? You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. We're in studio with my co-host, Tracy, and Steve Freeman is with us right now. Well, with us for the show. You're here every other week. And we're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back. We're going to get some update on the Manchester Food Co-op. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. We are live at the Beacon Building. You can stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we're in studio with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America. And Steve, you know where I went this week? I had a meeting in Concord, and I went to the food co-op, the Concord Food Co-op.
Awesome.
Which was really cool.
Isn't it beautiful?
I had never been in, sad to say. And I had lunch there. I had a cup of soup.
Yep.
Just sat right in the little window seat, and the soup was delicious. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. And, you know, I walked all around the stores. It was cool. I was happy I went.
I'm glad you did, too, and that's the beauty of co-ops. We love hearing all our people, members, support other co-ops. But just go to any co-op, and you get to see what local food tastes like.
Yep.
And a lot of them have cafes and awesome food.
And, you know, I did buy also, my son, when he was a vegan, was a big fan of Cafe Indigo.
Yeah.
So they sell some of their food there, well, their desserts,
carrot cake. They are Cafe Indigo now. The Concord Co-op actually bought Cafe Indigo.
You're kidding.
So Cafe Indigo is now, I think, inside of Concord Co-op.
Well, they have the best cheese carrot cake ever.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Everyone talks about
their
carrot cake.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You've never had it?
Not a big sweet tooth.
I'm not either. But
except ice cream for breakfast. I wish I knew about that one.
But yeah, no, it was very good.
Is it just like a regular grocery store, except it has like a little dining area, kind of like regular market basket or something?
It's a very small scale market basket. You walk in, you're hit with all the beautiful produce. The whole, you know, perimeter is all the refrigeration and all the fresh perishable stuff. Mm-hmm. The middle is the dry goods. In the back corner, I think they still do sushi and fish and
yes,
a bakery.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And then an olive bar and a hot bar and a salad bar. Mm-hmm.
And
then
the soup
front
bar.
Of the store and a soup
There's
bar.
There's like five different soups. I love that.
And the front of it is the cafe right on Main Street. And we will be very similar. Co-ops have a different programming, if you will, than the non-cooperative grocery stores. But you'll have that same awesome experience
when you shop at our co-op. And it's right near my house. Well, I'll be moving, I guess. But
and any updates on the date? Is it still the same time frame?
Yeah, it's still like, so we took over. Did I announce this on the air? We took over, we're taking over the Bedford Harvest Market on the corner of Wallace Road and Route 101 in Bedford. And our manager is working full time at the store and outside the store, putting everything in place for all the legal things and all those stuff that the board of directors is not well versed at. And we had a great board meeting Tuesday night with consultants that we've been talking to for a couple of years, but they don't come in until now sort of thing. And they kind of leaned over the table and said, you guys have an amazing project here. We can't wait to work with you guys. And so the board kind of looked at each other. All right, more positive affirmation that this is the right thing to do. So 6 to 9 months, you know, I hate giving dates because we're always wrong. But we think by the end of the year we'll have it converted, maybe end of summer. We don't know. But we'll let you know when the final pieces are in place. And the biggest piece is we have to self-raise from our ownership about $1 million through a member loan campaign. That's the biggest part of a co-op is the community buy-in.
So tell people how they can do that.
Well, we're still working on the details because the federal and state laws changed as of January 1st, which make it a little trickier. But we will... Once we go through with our legal team what has to be done, we will be revealing a member loan campaign where basically we have 1,200 members now, give or take. If each member loaned $1,000, we just raise $1.2 million. If a third of the membership loans $3,000 to $5,000, we just raised $1 million. So it's like a bank loan sort of thing, and we're working on the paperwork and the legals, things of that sort. Excuse me. And then you pay it back. It's guaranteed to be paid back by the co-op when the co-op is profitable, which we're forecasting about 4 years out.
Very cool.
But it's how you buy into the co-op. You believe in it. A couple grand. Most people can part with a couple grand to help this store get off the ground and support it and show your support. And that's another way when you buy in. I'm going to go to that co-op, even though it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes from my house. I bought in. I support it. I got to go there. So it helps you reconnect with your co-op.
Now, is that different from what you've talked about before, about being an owner for $100?
Yeah, being an owner is $100. You own a share of the business. You have a voice. I don't know the answer as far as the legality of the member loan campaign, mm-hmm. but you have to be a member in order to loan the co-op money.
Okay.
So it's different. Member ownership is $100 lifetime. You own a share of the business. And you don't have to be an owner to shop. It just really helps us get the business off the ground, and it keeps you vested in the business.
If somebody wants to become an owner, where do they go to do that?
They can go to the Bedford Harvest Market now. They can sign up at the cash register or at the, the customer service desk. And between now and March 31st, anyone who joins anywhere, whether it's online at manchesterfood.coop or you find our brochures anywhere in the city or at the store, you get a $10 gift card that you pick up at the Harvest Market, usable at the Harvest Market.
Oh, cool.
Which is a great little incentive.
Yeah.
And most days of the week, members of the board or our strong volunteers, we call them movers, for member owner volunteers, we're at the store most days, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 2, and Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. I'm there Thursday nights. Come see Steve. And starting on the first Thursday in March, we're going to start having all our local vendors start showing up on Thursday nights to sample their food so you can get an idea of the transition and the awesomeness that's coming forward.
That is awesome. Now, Bob just put a little tidbit up here. Concord Food Co-op also has a location in New London.
Yeah, they bought like a 3,000 square foot, a smaller little satellite store in the Lakes region that they operate. I forget the name of it, but it's owned by the Concord Food Co-op.
Oh, cool. Yep. Very cool. Now, did you hear the big news about Shorty? Shorty sold?
No.
Yeah, to
I know,
my meeting
right?
is with the owner of Bedford Village Inn that I have to leave early for. John
Carnevale.
Jack's son, the owner, the former sommelier of the BVI, bought the Shorty's
GM,
franchise.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Is it still going to be Shorty's?
He said, I believe, yes.
I read the release. He said he's keeping it the same for now. He wants to focus on what's great and bring new things in. He's a talented young guy, and it's great that it's sold to a local person.
I think
he's going to keep what's working.
Surprised when I heard it. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, whoa. I mean, it really kind of... It surprised me.
To me, Shorty's is like, you know, if you're not going to the back room, it's Shorty's. It's like the second institution of the community.
The Red Arrow is. Awesome.
Well, the Red Arrow too, yes.
Really, Steve?
But no, you're
really?
Right.
Shorty's
kidding. Shorty's is definitely.
The Red Arrow, I stand corrected. The Red Arrow stands as its own destination, iconic institution.
Good, but you're right. Shorty's is, and they're known for their espinaca. Oh my gosh. They have the best espinaca.
Yeah. Hopefully he expands that and puts it on everything.
You can get it on anything. My friend Michelle gets it. She gets the fried haddock with espinaca on it.
Uh-huh.
Talk about double heart attack.
Right.
Yikes.
But yummy.
That's good, though.
How are you doing with your program at the executive? Is that
I just
still,
finished this past
did.
Monday. I'm just waiting for my final assessment. I did pretty well. I did as well as I put into it. The program is awesome. I have nothing but a great experience from it. I'm not a good student. I don't follow directions well, and I don't journal well. And those are that's my downfalls with the program. But I learned a ton.
And for anybody who's just listening, not before, the executive is a health club, and they have Steve went through this long
13-week
program,
Commit to Get Fit program, right. Which people have just dropped half their weight, half their body weight in 13 weeks. I lost 6 pounds, which I'm happy about. I learned a lot of things. I didn't work out as much as I was. I've been busy and stuff. But to this couple. Together, they lost almost 80 pounds. And I asked them, I'm like, what are you guys doing? What's going on? They're like, we're accountable to each other,
right.
Which we talked about the last
we
night.
We did.
To be, I'm accountable to my cat. My cat doesn't care if I eat ice cream at night.
Right. Or for breakfast.
Or for breakfast. So, which I haven't had ice cream in at least 13 weeks. But so we talked about that and how having a partner in the game, you're a lot more accountable. You're both going to say, you know, should we or shouldn't we? And I'm very so proud of those two because they didn't cheat at all. They didn't deviate, not at Christmas, not at Thanksgiving.
That's hard to do.
Good for them.
They just stuck through it. She gave up coffee from a pot a day to none. Gave up soda. I was just like, wow.
That's dedication.
Wow. It's called Fit to... What is it? What is
Commit
it called?
To Get
Commit
Fit.
Commit to Get Fit.
It's the Genovix program, I think, is like the trade name. They have patented or registered or whatever. Because Commit to Get Fit is used, I'm learning, in a lot of scenarios. So it's the Genovix Commit to Get Fit program. And it's awesome. I definitely the best. They focus on weight loss, nutrition, and stress management. And those are three critical things to get your life in balance. Mm-hmm. And the exercise things I learned from all the different programs that were part of it were awesome. I found out that I love Pilates. It's my new favorite exercise.
What is Pilates?
It's
exactly?
Not difficult, but it's tough.
It's for the core. It's basically, it's yoga centered specifically for your core.
It's you know, doing sit-ups, just balancing on your bum. So your body's like balancing on your bum.
Yeah,
and a V,
right.
And you do, yeah, right is right. Let me tell you something. I'm the only guy in the class, which I'm fine with. There's like 16 people usually. These women just fold like accordions, and I'm like dying to get off the ground. And it's just like, wow, I've always known the cores of women and men are just very structurally different. Go to this class, and I'm like the weakest person in the
class.
But
I bet you have really come a long way from the first time you started it.
Oh,
I'm sure
hugely.
You've seen
I can do a sit-up now. Yeah. If you're sitting on my bum like that.
So, okay, in those kinds of classes like that, the thing that I don't like, you know, I would love to go try something like that, but I would feel stupid because
teachers are great.
They are.
They make you feel comfortable, and it's not a fast class like a kickboxing class or anything like that. She'll come over and adjust you and say you're not, you know, your back needs to be flat. You're curling it. You're going to hurt yourself. So they were really great about that. I feel stupid being the only guy, but I just get in my zone, and there's always a view of yoga pants in front of me and yoga pants around me, and you just get into your
now
zone.
Now we know why he really goes.
No, that's not why I go. I know most guys are like,
so Steve sits in the back.
I definitely sit in the back.
Pilates in the back
Although
row.
Although one time there was no space. I had to sit right front and center next to the instructor in front of a mirror, but I actually enjoyed it because I have a very close-up view of her form.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm like, if I get that in 6 years, I'll be happy if I can get close. And I don't mean her shape, but her form being her.
The way she does it, yeah.
Right. We know what you
mind.
Mean.
Yeah.
But Carol, you know, you have to, everybody needs to go into, whether it's Pilates or anything that they've never done before, everybody thinks that I'm going to look stupid.
Yeah.
And you're not the first person to go in there and feel like I'm going to look stupid.
Right.
And you're not the first person to go in there and probably look stupid because you have to learn whatever it is that you're doing. You have to start someplace and you have to learn. So you need to throw that out the window and just go try
it. Just go in there because after a couple of minutes, you realize we all look stupid together.
Yeah. And it's not about that. It really is about, you know, getting stronger and getting healthier.
And the results, you know, like for me, honestly, my goal is to be able to, when I'm waking up in the morning, lying on my back, is to just sit up without my feet lifting. Sounds like a pretty formidable goal, but it's attainable.
Or without rolling on your side and pushing up with your elbow.
And I've noticed my core is stronger. It, just like how I roll over in my bed, I'm like, I can tell my core is stronger just by how I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, you know, I work at the hospital. I can see people with weak cores. They can't roll themselves over in their bed. And it's something very simple. But for me, so I can wake up in the morning and just sit upright is my goal with my core. Then I know I have a really strong core. Because it sounds easy, but go ahead and try it. Yeah.
It's not. Is that class that you take at the executive as well?
Everything I've been doing is at the executive. I go to Pilates Saturdays at 9:30, and there's like two or three other classes. And the teachers are just exceptional. This is a young girl. I think she has a French accent or something like that. And the first time I had her class, I was like, oh my God, what an incredible core. Just because I can just tell the way she moves, her core is steel with hydraulic pistons. It's just, it was amazing. And so it gives you a goal, like you can achieve this if you stick with it. And it doesn't matter whether you're thin or overweight, you can still build your core.
Right.
And a strong core is a strong back, strong hips, strong mind, strong heart. It's the core of your body. Way more important than we ever thought it was.
And how was your trip to Miami?
Miami. Yeah, fabulous. The most.
I saw pictures. You were whooping it up.
I was whooping it up. It's the most luxurious, wealthy part of the world I've ever been to.
Isn't it fun?
And and just beautiful people surrounded by beautiful people in bathing suits the size of dental floss on both sexes. We lucked out. We had a couple of days that were above 80 degrees, so that was really incredible. Miami was a great, great city. I will say, though, I don't want to knock the city, but every time I went out to dinner at a fancy restaurant, I asked the server, do you have any fresh fish? Because I'm looking out at the ocean that, oh, let me go ask the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. I expected to eat fish 7 days a week when I was there. I was a little disappointed with
that. We are at the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll be with Kate Reagan.